Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey, everybody. Happy summer. Welcome in to your show. This is our Q&A episode where we answer your questions about the economy, what's going on in real estate investing, precious metals, what's going on with the broader CPI data right now, inflation, all of that. So if you have any questions, go over to our website. Go to morrisinvest.com. Click on the right side of your screen. There's a microphone icon there, and you can leave us a voicemail question. So, you know, it's kind of the dog days of summer right now. We're watching what the Fed is going to do with rate cuts a little bit later this year. That, of course, will mean a decline in the U.S. dollar. That will mean people dumping U.S. treasuries because it will be unattractive. And therefore, we will see a rise in tangible assets like gold and silver because people do not want to hold U.S. treasuries if they are slashing the rates of these treasuries. So that's what we will see come later this year. And the Fed is in quite a pickle. So let's dive into it. Let's ask our first question today. I think this one is from Ray. Ray, take it away.
Yes. Hi, Clayton. This is Ray. I live in Michigan. And my wife is one who will not invest anything. And I keep telling her we just can't hold money, that holding money is not going to do us any good. I don't know how to get her to do anything with money. But I do all the investing, and I don't have any 401k. I have my own business, and I do have a house with equity in it. I was wondering, where do I start? I've never done this before, and I've got 20 grand wrapped up in stock right now and some extra money laying around, but I want to do something, and I want to be able to retire sometime. I'm a late starter. I'm 58 years old. Like I said, I don't have a 401k. I have my own business. So that's about it. Thank you. Bye.
Well, Ray, thanks for the great question. Number one, I would just say book a call with my team at Morris Invest, okay? And we can just talk with you. It's a free phone call. Just we'll talk with you through the process. Now, just to give you a sense of where I put my money, real estate and precious metals, okay? That's my main driver. And yes, I own some stocks. And I own some Bitcoin, but my main driver for my family, okay, real estate, and precious metals. But one thing you can talk to your wife about is say, hey, you know, for 5,000 years, honey, real estate and precious metals have sustained themselves through all manner of turmoil, from tsunamis to earthquakes to governments collapsing to the fall of the Roman Empire, you know, and you can say, honey, you could just be nice about it. I kind of do this passive aggressively with my wife sometimes, be like, honey, do you think you know better than 5,000 years of history, like to protect our family? You know, just be honest with her. I mean, we've seen that there's a track record of it, and we know that people who invest in actual tangible, real things like real estate have historically appreciated in value and been protected, and the same with precious metals. So I would kind of start there with that, but honestly, I would just book a call with our team because, you know, here's what I would talk to your wife about. And I just recently did an interview with one of our clients at Morris Invest, who now owns, I think, like 5 or 6 different properties. And his advice was just start. What do you have to lose? And in the situation with real estate investing, I would say, here's how you could comfort your wife. Tell her, honey, look, the bank is going to put up the money. We are not. We're going to put the down payment, but the bank is taking the biggest risk here. And so when a client works with us on our new construction rental properties, our build to own rental properties in Lubbock, Texas, and West Texas, Odessa, Midland, and Missouri, the bank is putting up the money. So the bank is doing an appraisal on the property. The bank is putting up its own money on the property to give you a mortgage. And you're putting a down payment. So they are putting up 80% basically of the risk. And they're not going to lend money on something that's undervalued. You know, they're going to get an appraisal. They're going to do their own appraisal. And they're going to see, yeah, this is a brand new construction property. It's in a great location. Here's the value. And they're going to put up the collateral on it. So I think that's one big way to comfort your wife. Like if she's nervous about investing, be like, honey, the bank is putting up the biggest risk here. Like they have the most to lose. And a bank's not going to do that, right? They're not stupid like that. They're not going to do that. So then you own a rental property that's producing cash flow. And the tenant is paying down the rent on the property, or paying down the mortgage on the property. So now your wife's not even paying the mortgage. The tenant is. And you're building equity. And you're building cash flow. Now you own an asset in your asset column. And as you're building equity, you can actually leverage that equity to buy another property. So I think if you can lay it out for your wife in that way and explain that, don't worry, like, honey, you're not putting up the risk here. Like, I know you think you're being risky with this, but you're not, okay? You're putting up 20% or 25% down, but the bank is doing the heavy lifting here. And I think that's a real comfort for people. Now, when you go in and buy gold or silver, that's you 100%. The bank is not going to lend you any money, right? You're putting up that money to buy gold and silver. But I look at gold and silver as a store of value. So when Natalie and I buy a lot of gold and we buy a lot of silver and we have it stored offsite in a facility, you know, guarded facility, that to me is just wealth preservation. Like, I'm glad that gold has skyrocketed in value. I'm glad that silver is probably going to double in value, according to the data. But, you know, I'm not investing in gold and silver for it to double in value. And, you know, I know the price targets for gold right now have it being like $4,000 an ounce. UBS came out with a price target of $4,000 an ounce. Right now it's about $2,300 an ounce, so it could double. Again, I'm not buying gold and silver for that reason. I'm buying gold and silver as a preservation tool for my family. I'm buying real estate for the tax benefits and the cash flow. I want a continuous stream of income in my life. And you could talk to your wife and say, hey, when we retire, honey, like we can't live off of a pile of cash. That pile of cash will dissolve and it will be gone. What are we going to do in retirement? We need to have that cash flow coming in order to retire. And so that you can't live off a pile of cash. So these are the conversations I would have with her. And frankly, I would just play this video for her and just let her know that, you know, that she's not putting up the bulk of the risk here when she's investing in real estate. The bank is, and the cash flow coming in will provide your way of life for the rest of your life. You know, imagine having a few thousand dollars in cash flow coming in every month from the different rental properties that you own. That's how you can live your life for the rest of your life. So again, I think that's where the mentality around the 401k plan is like, oh, we'll just have a pile of cash we'll live off of. If you've watched my videos for any length of time, you'll know that that's a terrible way to plan for retirement. A 401k plan is not going to help you in that way. So anyway, I hope that helps, Ray. Good luck to you. I know, you know, sometimes, and tragically, I will say this, tragically, sometimes people wait until it's too late, until they have a major event that's a major problem. And then that's when they stop. That's when they end up deciding to finally take advantage and actually start investing, is when they have a tragedy. They have some sort of a big problem in their life. And then like, oh, I should have done this earlier. So don't let it get to that point. Okay. That's my advice to you. All right, our next question.
Hey Clayton, I hope you're doing well. My question is, if you had $80,000, how will you invest that money? Would it be by going out there, buying properties and making the numbers make sense? Or would it be if you had a current property within a storage unit to convert it into an ADU unit and kind of like make it a duplex? Or would it be by holding the money right now and finding opportunities as they come in 2024, 2025? I hope I can hear from you soon. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the question. First of all, I wouldn't be sitting on that right now. I would not be sitting on, remember, when you've got cash just sitting there, that is losing value every day. Okay. With inflation, you're losing that value. So that $80,000 is worth less tomorrow. So I would not keep it in US dollars. That's my personal take on that. Okay. I can't give you financial advice. Okay. So personally, I would not want to have my money sitting in US dollars. Personally, if I had $80,000, I would be investing it in real estate. To me, that would be like virtually like two down payments. And the bank would put up the rest. Like to my previous caller who was just asking about that, like, that's basically one or two down payments on a brand new construction rental property. And the bank is going to put up the rest of that money and you're going to create cash flow. You're going to add an asset to your, I mean, to your asset column. You're going to have the tax benefits of owning real estate. So to me, for me personally, okay, that me personally, I would be using that $80,000 as a down payment or two. Like our properties at Morris Invest, a down payment's going to be like $45,000-$50,000 roughly. But we have some also cheaper properties. So I would book a call with our team. We might be able to help you with that. That would be what I would do. I would also think about how can I put this into maybe some sort of short-term fund? So let's say you invested $50,000 as one in one property. Maybe you've got $30,000 left over. It's not quite enough for like a down payment on a new construction property. I might consider using like Connect Invest through our website where you could actually invest in real estate funds for as little as $500 and you're going to get 9 to 11% return on that. So while you've been able to do a down payment on one property, that $30,000 can be working for you earning about 9, 11% or so with Connect Invest so that you're still in real estate, you're still in a fund and now you're building up all of that interest, you know, all of that additional growth. And then you can use that money to buy a physical property once that builds up to, you know, to another down payment amount. So that's how I would be thinking about it personally. But again, or you could do, you know, whatever you want and put it in precious metals, right? But I really, really worry about the US dollar. I mean, here's the thing. When they slash rates and people are dumping the US dollar is going to continue to decline, in my opinion. And, you know, the country is $34 trillion in debt. Countries around the world are dumping US dollars, US treasuries, okay, in favor of BRICS currencies, in favor of gold. Gold is now the second currency. So many central banks have been buying up gold and silver like crazy. So that's what I would consider doing. Again, not financial advice, but that's what I personally would consider doing. Again, so if you want to book a call with my team, we can help you out with that or at least point you in the right direction on that. All right, our next question.
Hi, Clayton. How are you doing? This is Chris. Quick question for you. What does an intermediate investor do as the next step once they have 10 conventional mortgage loans? For example, I've got 5 investment properties, which puts me at 6 conventional mortgage loans, including my primary residence. What is that next step once someone has maxed out their conventional mortgage loans? Do they get like a portfolio loan or a business loan? What would be the next thing someone would do to get over that hump? Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. And congratulations, by the way. Great to hear that. Yes, it's so ridiculous that they have this 10 property limit. I mean, it's so arbitrary. And then it forces you to think, okay, now I've got reached 10 properties. What can I do to expand that portfolio beyond using traditional banks? Well, one of the things that we do at Morris Invest with our clients, because we have a lot of people in your situation, Chris, who own, you know, 10 properties, and they come to us and they want to buy more properties. So they want to buy one of our new construction properties or whatever. And so what we offer, we have relationships with hundreds of different lenders and we have fantastic relationships on non-recourse lenders. So non-recourse loans. So it would be in an LLC, not in your own name. And then you'd be able to buy rental properties through your LLC with a non-recourse loan. So that's definitely an option. Non-recourse financing is fantastic. That's an option. Yes, the interest rates actually competitively right now, given the fact that they were normally a little bit higher than what you would normally pay with interest rates that were in the 3-4% range. But now those interest rates are kind of similar right now. So it's actually not much different than what you're getting with a traditional mortgage. So I would definitely book a call with our team and we can talk to you about that. That's one option, non-recourse financing. And the beauty of I'm not sure if you're familiar with non-recourse financing, but non-recourse, I have whole videos on non-recourse financing. The beauty of it is that they are not they're not lending to you, Chris. They're lending on the asset itself. Okay. And they're looking at the asset first and foremost. Like, they don't really care much about you and your credit score or anything. So we have these great relationships with these banks because we're building in these A-class neighborhoods and the best school districts, right? And the banks know the developments that we're building in. So they've already approved these. This is not something you have to go out and take a year to get. Like, they've already approved the non-recourse financing on our properties, which, again, like, can take up to a year. So what they're doing is they are putting their money on the asset. They don't care about you, Chris, who could ditch and run off to Argentina. So what happens if you run off and ditch to Argentina and don't pay your mortgage payments? They're going to take over the asset. And since they've already vetted the asset, they're like, great, we've got this asset now in our portfolio, which is a cash flowing rental property, a new construction property, and great, we'll add it to our portfolio. So that's how non-recourse financing works. Again, they're not looking at you, Chris, so much. They're looking at the asset, and they are funding the asset itself because they've already vetted it. And they know that it's a great performing asset. So for me, it's almost like having an extra set of eyes. Like, you and your wife are, you know, investors, and you're like, okay, we think this is a great investment. Well, now think of it in this way. The bank is doing all of the appraisal on the property. They're vetting the property. And they have already signed off and said, this is an amazing property. We're going to back this property with non-recourse financing. So it almost gets you off the hook for due diligence in a lot of ways. You know, it's actually kind of crazy in that way. But yes, this is how a lot of our clients, Chris, get around the 10 portfolio limit. The other question, yes, you could get a portfolio loan. That's something you could also consider doing, like a hard money loan. Of course, you're going to pay all sorts of additional fees and things like that to get maybe like $1 million revolving credit line that you could purchase properties that way. I've definitely done that over the years, but I prefer non-recourse financing. I just do, because again, you get to keep, you're not having to pay these exorbitant fees. You're not having to use a lot of that credit line that you're having to pay back. And again, the bank is financing this. They've already vetted it. They've done the appraisal on it, and they're standing by it as a great asset. So that would be my suggestion, is to look in non-recourse financing. Yeah, absolutely, Chris. So congratulations, man. 10 properties. That's fantastic. And good for you. That's you are definitely a beacon of light out there for people to learn from. Hey guys, if you have a question you'd like to ask us here, go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com. Click on the microphone icon on the right side of your screen and feel free to leave us a voicemail question. And if you're interested in talking with our team, we've got a great team. We have the best customer service team in the industry. And what's great about our team is you don't have to work with us. We're happy just to talk with you, point you in the right direction. That's what our team does all day. So just book a call with our team right there on the website. And again, totally for free. We're happy to guide you, point you in the right direction, and see what we can do to help you in that way. So that's what we're here for. So much love to you guys. Thank you guys so much. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.